Limestone Coast Triple M. Know-it-alls footy and netball show. Thanks to the team at Ray White, Keatley, Mount Gambier and Hamilton. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
963 Triple M Limestone Coast Netball with the Know-It-Alls. Local sport on the local you know. Triple M.
As we're talking Mid-Sea Netball, good morning, Kirsty Johnson.
Oh, good morning, Milo. We're here. We're finally here.
Yeah, we are the big one. And who would have thought at the start of the year on the way through, because there was a bit of a doubt of whether they might make the finals, but they secured that a while ago. The Tantanoola, the Young Guns, 47, got up to eject Hatherley, 44. And they're into a grand final, first time since 82 for the Tigers.
Absolutely fantastic, Milo. They played so well on Saturday. They really shut Hatherley down in all areas. And look, youngster Emma Gould, she only missed three for the game, played fantastic. Actually, every single girl on that court played like they really wanted to win, and they did. So it was just fantastic for the Tad girls.
Okay, they're going to come down from that high, and no doubt they'll learn a lot from that, and they'll gain a lot of confidence. They hadn't beaten Hatherley all year, and they come up with a team they haven't beaten for a while, and that's the juggernaut, Clangadu. 33rd flag they're looking for, seven in a row. Tant, the last flag, was their third. 41 years ago in 1977, but that's only history. Head-to-head, the Do got them 24 and 28 during the year, but they start afresh. And I suppose the Tant girls got nothing to lose. They just go out and go for it.
Well, exactly right, Milo. That's what they've got to do. They got there. That's the main thing. Okay, they proved that they can get there, so they got there. And I think they've just got to, on Saturday, play smart. Go out there and just play a bit of smart netball, keep the possession. Yes, Kalangadu are a fantastic side, you know, with the likes of Abby Duncan and Melissa Russell in goals. But, you know, the other end, you know, Victoria Lucas at wing defence, she's only a youngster. Well, she did some hard work on Saturday. And look, Kate Bromley and Olivia Fuller in defence for Tant girls. There's a lot of youngsters in the Tant side against a lot of experience within the Kalangadu side. But look, at the end of the day, it's going to be the team that can really play the smart netball and be composed, and you know, then they'll win it. And look, finals are any game, anyone's game. So, you know, I think Clangadu will win, but I'm hoping that Tant really, really match them and really play it up to them.
Yeah, still a little bit of wintry conditions, and that can have a bearing, but no doubt the Tant girls will be focused. Clangadu know what it's all about, but and as you said, there'll be some great duels. And, and from what I can glean, Tant have sort of not too bad on the height side of things, so that's going to help them out.
Yeah, well, look, Emma Gould is 17. She's very tall, and she'll come up against, there's some height in their defence for Clangadu and Jazzy Crozer. She's a very tall girl as well, so you know, you've got that height, and then you've got Narelle Ryan, a lot of experience for Clangadu. You've got Jamie Walker, the goalie for Tant, who shot really well on Saturday as well, and she's got speed behind her. So, look, I think, you know, it will be really, it should be anyone's game. When you look at the, like I said, the Kalangadu side, they should probably come away with the win, but, you know, I wouldn't take it away from these young Tant girls to really match them.
And if you're not a Kalangadu barracker, I'd say the crowd will be on the side of the young Tigerette. So we wish everyone all the best throughout all the grades, and let's hope it's just a great day of netball. Kirsty, let's hope it's just a showpiece of Mid-Sea netball, and everyone enjoys the day.
Well, that's right, Milo. And look, Kalangadu are in a few of the finals, and look, all the best to all the teams, because I've said to many people, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have never been in finals, so make the most of it, and win or lose, you still got there.
Enjoy. Thanks, Kirsty.
No worries. Thanks, Milo.
963 Triple M Limestone Coast Netball with the Know-It-Alls. Local sport on the local you know. Triple M.
Yes, we're talking Western Border Super 6 Netball, and on the weekend, it was the grand finals. And in the A grade, North Gambier, who went in his a roughie, a bit of adversity. They had to face the might of the Millicent juggernaut. They took it right up to Millicent. Millicent were leading by one going into the final term, and they dug deep, and they know how to win grand finals, and they ran out victors 42-35 of the 12-6 final term. That means 10 in a row, and of course a record high 16 for the competition, which started way back in 1984. On the line, the victorious coach, a local girl, come home, and what a way to celebrate. Good morning, congratulations, Demi Verbena.
Yeah, thank you, Milo.
Now, extra special this year because it's the first time that the footballers, and that includes the under-17s, which was handy. So just a little bit extra for the whole club.
Yeah, for sure. There was a great feel around the club leading up to the big game on Saturday, especially with so many teams in. And, yeah, to have not quite sure how many of us got over the line in the end, but, yeah, especially for the A-grade footballers to get a win at the same time, it was, yeah, pretty amazing. It was pretty hard to get a drink at the club that night. There was a few people about, so...
Now, there's pressure on every coach at the start of the season, firstly to make finals and then perhaps get in the big one. Probably a little bit more pressure on you because you come home, the expectation that Millicent is to, you know, do well, get in the grand final. So obviously you would have thought about that initially, wouldn't you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when they were asking me to coach at the start of the season, I knew going in there was a big job. It was going to be a big job. But I was very grateful to have the likes of Lisa and Hayley and Donna around me to support me this year. And I probably couldn't have done it without them, to be honest. But, yeah.
All about team. Now, other than the win, what were some of the highlights for you in developing that team as a group and the mix you had this year?
I think we've got a pretty good group of juniors coming through. So I think it was just seeing them develop over the course of the year and their confidence grow on court as they got more game time. That was definitely a highlight for me. But then also being able to play with some of my best mates again as well, which was pretty awesome. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Nitschke girls put their hand up, and that's an indication of what's coming through. And no doubt they're going to progress, and you're going to have them for a while. Now, looking at retirements and departures at uni or retirements, any news at this stage?
Yeah, so just the one at this stage. So young Maddie Turner's heading off to Adelaide next year to study at university. So, yeah, we'll definitely miss her in the side. But like I said, we've got some good juniors coming through, so I'm sure we'll be able to get someone to fill that wing defence spot next year.
You've got an A-reserve flag, so there's a couple possibilities there as well. Now, did the netball girls get on the bus to Mount Gambier with the footballers as well, or did they pass on that?
No, we passed on that, but we had our own fun, and we all met up at the end of the night. So, yeah, no, it was a good weekend.
Now, early days, but is there a little netball trip planned at all?
I think some of the girls have got something in the works. I'm heading off to Europe though in 3 weeks' time, so I unfortunately won't be a part of that, but I'm sure I'll get sent lots of photos and videos.
Now, I've been talking to Demi Verbena, local girl come home. She experienced a few flags before she headed to Adelaide and played at the higher level. Come home, coach the team, and she's right at the top, and they win 10 in a row, and of course that's the 16th. Demi, I know it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of planning, and no doubt you're already looking ahead, as you said, for the spots in the future. So enjoy the off-season, your trip overseas, and look forward to chatting to you next year. And obviously you'll make a decision whether you coach again or not.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Thanks, Demi.
Thanks, Marlon.
The Limestone Coast Triple M, Know-It-Alls Footy and Netball Show. Thanks to the team at Ray White, Keatley, Mount Gambier and Hamilton. Local sport on the local you know, 963 Triple M.
Yes, welcome back, listeners. Milo, talking sport, of course. The sport is footy, and, of course, we're right into finals. My guest this morning, I call him 15 the Magician, and during the week, Monday to Thursday, we have a very popular show on Triple M, 6 to 7. It's Sports Day, and one of the co-compares. Good morning, Malcolm Blight.
Hey, Milo. How are you, mate? Good to talk to you.
And you, like me, an old footballer who's been in grand finals, you'd get a bit of a spring in your step this time of year, wouldn't you?
It's a fascinating time, the area of expectation about the results, particularly start, you know, every week two drop out until we get to the grand final. So, yeah, it's a very nervous time at football clubs right now.
Now, you've been through it yourself as a player. You've been through it as a coach. And really, I reckon in the end, if you play long enough in enough grand finals, it ends up 50-50 and there's a lot of luck involved. Now, some players embrace it and others go back in their shell. What do you reckon the best formula is?
Yeah, I've seen both, and one of the things I remember saying, even at Geelong, when I coached them, was, and someone told me years ago, that you just embrace it. You know, when you run out in the ground, the first one I played in was 110,000 people there.
Yep.
in 1975, a long time ago, but there's still 110,000 eyes or people there.
Yep.
And just to take it in.
Yep.
So every team I said to, and even when I went to Adelaide, I said, look, just look around, take it in. You know, there's marching bands and there's, you know, there's stages and there's amplifiers on the ground and there's, it feels like there's about 5,000 people on the ground. There's so much happening.
Yep.
But I said, when it, just take it in, have a really good look around, just embrace it. You know, I've seen some players run on the ground and actually, you know, just look at the ground and just, you know, they just won't enjoy it. So I always told them to embrace it.
Yeah, no question. And I always believe playing and watching and involved, that first half just seems to flash by and there's so much nervous energy and you've got to control the output of that energy, don't you?
Absolutely. Yes, I must say that, and it's not always easy. I have seen, as we all have, some players almost freeze on the stage or just get overawed by the thing, and others, you know, that it's almost like they're smoking a peace pipe out there. They're just so quiet and relaxed and just go about their business. It's it is amazing. I think it's probably better prepared for now, you know, because everyone's full time.
Yeah.
So you actually have this, you know, you have the sanction of your football club, which is most important. You know, in the old days, just having a couple of training runs for the week was a bit harder because everyone was patting you on the back. But at least now they can actually be inside their footy club and protect themselves a bit.
Now, that MCG is a whole new ball game. I think last year the Crows got caught out for pace. Now, the Western Australians have been very smart. They've constructed a ground that's nearly the size of the MCG. So we're going to see if they get there, how the Eagles go. But just the MCG body, I've only been on there for a kick in the years gone by. It's an interesting scenario because it seems to be 1.5 kick to get in the danger zone and that swirly breeze. There are a couple of things that really come out.
Yeah, look, it is. One of the things that I learned probably early by playing there was that even when you feel the breeze in your face, you're not necessarily kicking into the breeze, you know, because it does swirl around. And I've always thought, and I've proven it many times when we've just had a warm-up and a kick on the ground, is that you never give the goals away. You know, even though you feel the breeze coming over your right shoulder and you think it's going to, the ball's going to go left, don't ever, ever give the goals away because it what happens out in the, you know, 50 metres out isn't what happens right on the goal line. It's quite fascinating, actually. And as I said, I've gone out there with a lot of players and actually had many, many kicks at goals. And the best analysis is just kick at the goals. And Dustin Martin's kick last week from the boundary line was a great kick and didn't deviate. If you look at it, just didn't deviate. And there was a little bit of breeze around, so don't give the goals away.
Now, the other thing, you need a lot of luck to win a premiership, and you know all about that. Things have to go your way, but preparation is all about when luck presents itself. Now, in terms of grand finals, and my premiership coaches did it, and I know you always tried to do it, you can't be too predictable. You've got to look for that little bit of a surprise tactic or positioning of a player just to upset the opposition. Is that still the case?
Oh, look, I believe it is, but Alistair Clarkson said last week that he's a systems-based coach, not tactics. And one of the problems, you know, one of the problems now, don't forget I've sat in the box at the Gold Coast for six of the last 8 years or something.
Yeah.
One of the frustrations is you go to make a move and they rotate off.
You know,
what have I done there? So it is much more difficult to do now. It'd drive me nuts.
If I couldn't
control a move, you know, in that instant that you want it done, you know, to help the players, to help the team win, I'd be frustrated as hell. So I don't envy them now. Saturday is a very tough day for coaches. A lot of them sit on their hands for that very reason. I couldn't help myself. I'd still have to have something up your sleeve if it wasn't working.
I still like the Jack Odie philosophy. When the game's to be won, you have to have your best players in the action. Have I got it right?
Oh, well, yeah. The bloke's in form. What you need is your bloke's in form, because not always your great players play well, of course. So what you need is backup plans in case that happens. And I learnt that probably hard way at Geelong, which I enacted into the Adelaide Football Club.
Now, Blighty, this week we've got the second round of finals, and they're both going to be great finals. Hawks and Melbourne, who do you like in that one?
Yeah, I've jumped on a bandwagon called Melbourne.
Yeah, we've heard you on Sports Day.
Yeah, I have an interest, of course. Simon Goodwin, who played in those premierships at the Crows with me, you know, he's done a really good job, and they look as though they've got a lot of youth, a little bit of experience. They're not an old team by any means, but I just love the way they're going about it. And they kick goals. I mean, they're the highest scoring team in the comp, which I like. but he's added some defence with it too. And their midfield's young, but I like it.
Okay, Pies versus GWS, and injuries are going to play a big part.
Oh, yeah, have they ever? They've both been hit badly, haven't they, throughout the year. I love the way Nathan Buckley's got Collingwood playing. I really have. I think they're the sweetest moving team, if you know what I mean. They actually get on with it. They're quite, you know, quick through the middle. But GWS, are they coming? Kelly plays. He might. Their midfield's terrific. Cameron's a good player. Himmelberg's improved out of sight. And Phil Davis is you know, in the best two fullbacks in the country. So what a game it will be. I, at the start of the year, I picked GWS to finish on top of the ladder. Their injuries haven't let that happen. So in a coin toss, I'll stick with them because they'll stay alive, maybe, and get through.
Malcolm Blight, you and Kane Corns, keep up the good work on sports, Dan. I know you're talking to coaches right across South Australia. Tune in and enjoy, and you enjoy the finals, Blighty.
Yeah, thanks very much. Good to talk to you again.
The Limestone Coast Triple M KNT footy. Thanks to Eagle Hawk Developments. Electrical, plumbing and carpentry. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
Yes, we're talking big league. KNT, last weekend preliminary final. Regular commentator, and he had to sit through the action and watch KLU go down by 2 points to Mundalla. Good morning, Mel Coates.
Morning, Milo. How are you, mate?
Good. Now, there's a real story and some scenarios out of this preliminary final. Coach Nick Murphy was doing everything right to come up with a knee problem from the previous final. And no doubt Mundalla would have had a little bit of insight about it, so waiting for the team sheets. But was bad news for KLU. The Cougars coach Nick Murphy never made it. So that was a big out because he's kicked the most goals for you this year by far.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing. Like he probably was, he might have played this week. I reckon he'd be 80% this week, but just didn't come up in time.
Okay, even first quarter, 5-2 to 3-1, they jumped you slightly. You got back in it, only 4 points the difference at half time. But that third quarter, they kicked 5 goals to 1 point. So, Kale, you were in catch up mode going into the last quarter.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing the third quarter. We lost our Josh Jarrett, our run-with player, he did a hamstring and threw us in a disarray a bit, and Cam DeVizza got knocked out in a incident in the same quarter and threw us out a bit. You know, no excuses, but sort of we lost the plot there for a while. So
you went home with a wet sail, 5-1 to 1-2, fell short by 2 points. That's enough. Now, Mundalla, any obvious injuries that might cause them a few hassles coming up for the grand finale?
No, I think McGrice was a bit sore early. He got better as the game went on. He was a bit sore going into it. But no, none of their players were injured. I don't think they all came off. Obviously, when you win, you have a bit of spring in your step. So
now it all happens at Keith, and still slightly wintry conditions, but that can change in a matter of hours tomorrow. Head-to-head, it's one each. Mundalla had a win by 40. Keith had a win by 15. They're only stats. Now the first time versus each other in a KNT Field Grand Final. So that's a Bruce Mac of any for you. And, of course, Keith looking for their third flag. Now Mundalla, they're the juggernaut. They've been in starvation mode for a while. They haven't won one since 2004. Obviously burned in their gut last year because they were very disappointing. They are looking for their 10th flag. Gee, this is going to be a hurly-burly grand final, Mal.
Yes, I actually thought if whoever could win last week would be a big chance this week, and I still haven't changed my mind.
Mm.
I think Keith relied too heavy on too few.
Yeah.
And the big money men, Simmons, Thring and Laurie, if they don't fire it can be stopped, it makes it very hard.
I see George Thring was runner for North Adelaide on the weekend where his brother's playing. So he's obviously keeping his fitness up. Now, you talk about the Moots, and gee, they are a very proud club. Predominantly local boys, or local boys come back. And I know Nick McGrook's from the Mallee, and he's one of the four that I've got circled. Him, Jake McGrice, James Hinge, and Tim McIntyre. Now, they are their four top liners. Would you throw anyone else in there?
No, I think you've got it there in four, but there's a few
second tier
players that go unnoticed.
Okay.
The back line you look on paper, they're not that flash, but they all combine well together, and there's a couple of forwards are a bit lively. And no, I reckon it'll be a ripping game, and I'm thinking Keith on form, everyone says Keith, but they were there 2 years ago when they were long odds on favourites and got beat. It's at home.
Yep.
I think the world will be on their shoulders. Mandela got nothing to lose this year.
And talking up and about forwards, young Will Mankerville, good morning, Neil, cruising the streets, looking after us. North Gambia player here. He started in the midfield and they've pushed him up forward, and he's been that little opportunist forward that's taken the pressure off the big fellas.
Yes, yeah, no, he was pretty good.
Now, obviously, we'll get to hear who the umpires are, and as I said, it's still wintry conditions, but I'm probably going to be a bit like you. The old Mandela Moots and that pride, and I reckon last year that would be really still burning, and they've done everything right, they've been in form for a long time, and I think they're going to rack up their 10th premiership.
Well, I made a mind I play a lot of football against them. Keith told me 12 months ago, to the day out in the preliminary final, he said, the grand final's at home next year. It won't matter what money we have to find, we will be in the grand final at home. So they're in there.
Mm.
I know they've spent a lot of money, so good luck to them. But if they get beaten, there'll be a lot of people smiling.
Yes, and of course, East Gambia got knocked off in the home dunghill by Millicent, who hadn't won one for 34 years. So it's only a sideline. Mal, you enjoy the day, and let's hope the best team wins on the day, and it, like the previous finals, it goes right down to the wire.
Yeah, good luck to both sides, and hope it's a ripping game.
Thanks, Mal. The Limestone Coast, Triple M. Western Border Footy. Thanks to the team at Ray White, Keatley, Mount Gambier and Hamilton. Local sport on the local you know. Triple M rocks footy. 963 Triple M. We're talking Western Border football, and of course, comes the Ray White, Keatley and the Know-It-Alls footy team. Now, the catch cry for the Millicent Saints heading into last weekend's grand final, looking to break the ice and crack a premiership for 34-year drought, was join the march. And I'll tell you what, the supporters joined the march and the players did the right thing. And it was by a margin of 4 points. They got that second pennant in the history of the club in Western Border footy on the wall. On the line, congratulations, Coach Clint Gallio.
G'day, Milo. Thanks for having me.
Now, obviously, wind's terrific. You've been through this before. So I suppose, and I know years ago I spoke to Ron Barassi and asked him what was some of his cherished footy memories, and he put right at the top coaching the first premiership at North Melbourne and the joy it gave to the older supporters. No doubt you observed that on the weekend in the celebrations.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, I've been lucky enough to be in this position before, but being a premiership coach is pretty special, and the way we did it and for the club was pretty cool.
Now, just take us back. Now, you had to make a very big decision to leave Mount Burr and risk yourself and face a challenge to bring a side firstly into the finals and then do what you did on the weekend. So it would have been a lot of soul searching, or was it a no-brainer a couple of seasons ago to decide to come to the Saints?
Yeah, definitely wasn't easy. Like you said, I've been at Mount Burr for a long time and played a lot of footy there. I thought to take myself to the next level and try out coaching.
Hmm.
I thought it would be a lot easier to go away from the club that I've been at for a while and enter a new environment and start things fresh the way I wanted to.
Now, on the weekend, the thing that hit me right from the start, and I've been involved in grand finals and premierships back in the dark ages, the discipline in your team, and that came through in the tackling and particularly the gang tackling. That's obviously something you worked on.
Yeah, we've been working on a lot of things over the last couple of years, and this year, throughout the whole year, our pressure and tackling has been pretty consistent, I thought, led by Lyndon Smith and Reece Duncan, two super tacklers. But a lot of our games, we won or helped us win. It was because of the pressure.
Now, come to grand finals, a no-brainer. It's the second tier and third tier players that have to put their hand up, and I think you had much more of those on the weekend. And I'll talk about the likes of Callan Hobbs. I thought he played his role to perfection. Will Fleming, one of the best games I've seen him play. And there are other players of the same ilk, and they're the ones that make a coach happy, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was the same going back to the second semi against Caston. I think although you know both games of footy were good games, I think all 22 of our blokes contributed, whether they were coming off the bench and playing a different type of role or on the field playing a role for our team. I thought we had a lot of contributors and that's what it took.
Very early days, and I know, and it was a rumour quite a while back, and didn't surprise me because I know you really enjoyed your time those games in Darwin. You're going to head up there, have another go up there with Southern Districts, who are reigning premiers in the Premier League, and put your hand up for the North East Australian Footy League with Northern Terry Thunder. You're going to give that a crack. So really, obviously, you want to test yourself, and obviously you're happy to do that, Clint.
Yeah, definitely. That was also another tough decision. I lived in Millerton a long time and been around the area for a while, so obviously another tough decision, but like you mentioned, love to challenge myself. I love to compete, and I thought this would be another step, and it's a long way away, but I suppose you jump on a plane and you're back home, so I will miss it here, but yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's right. You got that flag, 1-1, so that's a pretty good record in Western Border. Now, early days, an indication, will some, most, or only a few of the boys that travel, the ex-local boys, come back next year, or is it too early?
I'm not 100% sure. The club obviously, you know, left us alone just to concentrate on the final series, so it's super hard to tell, really. It's a big commitment for those boys, one which, you know, they've done really well, and the club appreciate it. But, yeah, super early to tell. The club will give them a few more weeks, I think, and then sort of start getting stuck into them about it.
Now, the next era, 17's won a flag. Now, how many, just without names, how many reckon might be potential regular A-grade footballers? And I know you blooded a few. Are you pretty confident you're going to get a decent handful that will go on to play A-grade footy?
Yeah, definitely. There's still a couple of blokes that'll play 17s next year that'll play A-grade footy, but I'm not 100% sure how many go up, but there's definitely potential for blokes to play some senior footy for sure out of that group.
Very important, because Western Border and Middersea are sort of internal insulated comps. They can't bring the outsiders, the pure outsiders, in because of the logistics. So I like it like that anyway. I've been told to Clint Gallio, very worthy premiership coach. He's taken a monkey off Richard Hill's back, and no doubt Norm Facey and Richard Hill were really up the front enjoying that. And I know they played a part of the lead-up. Congratulations to you and your team. It's a complete team effort. There's no doubt about that. You knew about that going in, Clint. And all the best individually in your quest to make a name for yourself in the Northern Territory and on a bigger stage in North East Australian Footy League.
No worries. Thank you very much. Limestone Coast,
Triple M. Western Border Footy. Thanks to the team at Ray White, Keatley, Mount Gambier and Hamilton. Local sport on the local you know.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
963 Triple M.
Yes, we're talking Western Border Footy, and as we heard, that was the OK Pie Shop Player of the Week jingle, and our winner this week out of the grand final was my four-quarter player, Brad Rathjen, and he's still learning the caper, but he was a very good player, so I'll get that $50 voucher out to him, and he can perhaps use it on grand final day to watch the big dance, the last tango. Now, we've put in a call to our regular commentator, long-term valued member of the Ray White Keatley footy team. Good morning, Keith Hooker Ansom.
Good morning, Milo.
The Saints did go marching in, and really, who would begrudge them, because they got a bit of a fright in the end, but they had control of that game for most of the day at the kennel, Keith.
Yeah, look, I want to say the same thing, Milo. Congratulations to Millicent. And mainly to one guy I shook his hand a couple of weeks ago and wished him all the best, was Steve Doldy. Long-time serving footballer, interleague player. I mean, he's done everything, and I reckon that's sensationally ended up with that medal around his neck. So congratulations, Steve, and your team.
Yeah, four points was the margin in the end, and that was enough, breaking that 34-year drought. And right from the start, must congratulate Clint Gallio and his brains trust, because they had a plan to work on the strengths of East Gambier. They knew Johnny Forster would get the job on Tim Hutchison and look to frustrate him. It was successful early, but Hutchison's teammates, they were full on putting Forster off his game. And the only thing that surprised me, I thought East would have retaliated and gave him a bit of protection, but it didn't happen, Keith.
No, it didn't seem to happen much around the ball, did it, Milo? And young Johnny was getting belted from the middle of the post. And he tried his heart out, John, but the Millicent boys backed up young Hutchison, and they did it very well.
Yeah, no, they ticked all the boxes and there was a plan there. Now, Josh Ransom, one of the playmakers, same scenario there. They, within the rules, targeted him, put red-hot pressure on him, and that tackling of Millicent was exemplary in that first half that gave him that 5-5 to 3-4 buffer at half-time, Keith.
Yeah, that's correct, Milo. They really pressured these around the contest, didn't they? And I just loved the way they attacked the ball and got it forward as quick as they could. And, of course, Dylan Bromley was that focus up forward there. And what he didn't get, the small lads and Gordon and Willis just picked up the crumbs or took some the odd mark here and there and got him up and running, didn't they, Milo?
Now, talking the cream, as they call him, Sam Willis, our Farmer Phil Scanlon Rookie of the Year, 17, 18-year-old, he didn't get near it in the first half. I said to the Millicent timekeeper, gee, he's been quiet. Maybe he's a bit overawed. I reckon you're going to get something out of him. Bang, bang, two goals, hit the post, and another two in the last quarter. So, gee, he's going to remember that grand final, isn't he?
Yeah, it's usually the way it goes, isn't it? It's funny when some players look at the way they played on the day, even though they've won, and they walk off thinking, gee, I didn't do much today. But it's a team game, Milo. Mm. And the kid stepped up the plate, kicked his four goals, so he'd be really proud of that.
Now, as we have all year, and I've asked you on a number of occasions, Jaden Eldridge, he's the trump card for East Gambia, usually gets midfield possessions from that half-back line. I thought after half-time again, he would have went into the midfield, and I thought they would have looked at the scenario with Mark Kieselbeck, who was going all right in the ruck, but Rumbelow wasn't giving a lot up forward. Now, the times Mark Kieselbeck was up forward, that created a bit of a different scenario.
Well, it's a mismatch too, Milo. Like, they've got to correct it. Steve Doherty, as tall as he is, can't control two or three players. He's got to go to one, doesn't he? So if you get him away from centre-half forward and you put him back deep in the pocket, that takes that bit of marking power and spoiling power away from Millicent. So, yeah, there were some moves to be made there, I think, Milo. But look, like we all say, we all see the game different. We all think different. And unfortunately, didn't go his way after half-time.
Now, Mick Ryan Medal, best and fairest player on the ground, selected by the umpires, caps off a terrific season. Well done, Tommy Hutchison from the Saints. Now, valuable player awards, CUB, Carlton Draft, Polo Shirts. Big thank you to the commercial, Ricky Dowie. Callum Hobbs from Millicent, I thought he was very good, particularly in that first half, but he was there all day. Will Fleming, I liked his game, and he gave plenty of run and was a clean handler of the ball. The cream, Sammy Willis, he was the match winner for me. He was the game buster. Tommy Hutchison picked up one of those polos as well. Hamish Gordon, I thought he won some very important contests, and Nick Locke was the other boy who I thought was very good for East Gambia. Keith, another season over, Mid-Sea Grand Final on the weekend. I'm going to catch up with you for the last show, and we're going to have a little bit of a review of the season and perhaps look in the crystal ball of what's ahead for Western Border footy.
Yeah, that's it, Milo. Gee, the year's gone quick, and once again, congratulations to Millicent. Also, Milo, I'd like to say a big congratulations to Casson Sanford's reserves.
Yep.
That's a win that the Casson Footy Club really will cherish. And congratulations to Millicent for the under-17s and also to South for the 15s and 13s. So, all in all, a good day held by the East Gambia Football Club. They did a tremendous job over there, didn't they, Milo?
They certainly did, and it was a terrific atmosphere. Keith, we'll catch up with you next week.
Triple M, Mid-Southeast Footy for the Matthews Hotels, the Gambia, the Southeastern and the Park Hotels. Supporting grassroots footy in the Southeast. Triple M's Mid-Southeast Footy League Player of the Week. For the Athlete's Foot, visit one of their expert fit technicians at the Athlete's Foot Mount Gambia.
Yes, we're talking medicine, as we heard. Athlete's Foot, Player of the Week, $50 voucher, and a big thank you to Athlete's Foot. Visit one of their expert fit technicians at Athlete's Foot Mount Gambia. Tell them Uncle Milo sent you, and they'll look after you. Gee, I love my Reebok slip-ons. Wear them everywhere. Now, on the weekend, of course, there was the preliminary final, and it was do or die, Mount Burr versus Kalangadu. Low-scoring affair, 9-6 to 2-10. The Mozzies got up and won that game by 38 points. They go in a bit different this year in the quest for four in a row and their 20th flag. Robe are waiting and no doubt to refresh. The Burr had done it every which way over those 19 flags they've got on the wall down there at the oval at Mount Burr, Sleepy Hollow, as I like to refer it to. Now, our winner this week of the Athlete's Foot Award played his junior footy with North Gambia, went to Adelaide for college. He's predominantly a swimmer when he was down here in his early teenage years. Ended up playing footy up there at college. Come back, was recruited by Tom Renzi from Mount Burr, and he's really made a name for himself. The big fella, the ruckman at Mount Burr, Congratulations on another good game. Back in form, Henry Crawford.
Thanks, Miles.
Timing's good, Henry, because this is the most important game. I know you had a bit of a calf problem a while back, so you've obviously shrugged that off.
Yeah, had a bit of a calf problem and an Achilles problem sort of thing. A bit after the Zion championships, actually. Due to many games, probably wore me out a bit. But, yeah, all fighting fit now, so good to go.
Yeah, now, where did the time go? 3 years you've been down at the Burr, and I can remember when I first interviewed you when you lobbed down there and you were our Farmer Phil Scanlon Rookie of the Year. What age are you now, Henry?
I'm 20, I'm 21st in October. So
gee, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, to be 20 again. Now, this season, from the point of view of coach Tom Renzi, has he done anything different because you won the last three flags, two under him and one under Fraser Scanlon? But is he approached it a bit different, particularly leading into the finals this year?
No, not particularly. Just sort of tries to keep our basics intact, I guess you'd say, and then just works on little bits of our game as we go. And obviously, we're still improving and that sort of thing. But yeah, always. Yeah,
got something that we can improve on. And, continual improvement. And I know yourself, where do you believe genuinely you might have improved your game this year as a developing big man?
Personally, maybe just trying to get to the right spots at the right time, I guess, and not getting him caught in between kicks, I suppose. Always trying to be that up and on the line, I guess, and get out of the way of the fellas when they need it. But, just little things like that and trying to be more constructive sort of thing with the voice and all that.
And I know you like kicking a goal, Henry.
Yeah, I'm just making forward and having a few, but it's been a little while since I've done that. So.
Yeah, the golden rule on the ball as an old ruckman who used to have to cut all the corners because I was shorter than most of the others is up and down to the centre of the ground, cut across, and it's 40 metres plus back 10 metres because you don't want to get under that ball. It's a horrible feeling when you're under that ball, even when you're as tall as you, Henry.
It's a story of my life. I had it way too many times backing under the ball. I've got to try everybody not do it as much, but yeah, I guess it's part of it.
Yeah, that's part of the game, and it's an interesting era you're playing in. Now, obviously, Robe are waiting. The score is 2-1. There was nothing in it last time you played them. They went in. Now, you obviously didn't play. The message I got, you guys really didn't play your best footy in that second semi. Did I get the news right?
First half was pretty good. Like, they had the win in the first quarter, and I think they outscored us by a goal or two. And then in the second quarter, we used the win pretty well and were smart with it and got a fair lead. And then after that, we sort of just seemed to take our foot off the throat, I guess, a bit. I'm not sure, really. There are a few mistakes in the last quarter that were made that we've rectified at training. Maybe we did wrong there. Especially considering how close it was when we had the lead and how short we were on time sort of thing. Seemed to fall away from us a bit there and had that ball go over my head. I was just lying and went. It was pretty heartbreaking, but luckily we had that second chance.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. You work hard to get there. And obviously, Robe looking for their fourth flag. You know the crowd there's probably, if they're not Mount Burr supporters, are going to be barracking for Robe. So that's going to create an atmosphere at Glencoe tomorrow. And the other one is no Western Border footy. So Mount Burr and Robe are going to probably see, and I'm tipping it because the weather looks all right, we're probably going to have a record crowd. And I think that'll lift you players to even higher heights, Henry.
Yeah, maybe. Always good to come out in front of a big crowd and play well, so hopefully we can. But, it'll be good to see a lot of people there, and it's always a bit of a thrill running out the field with that many people around, bit of a buzz.
Now, I've been talking to Henry Crawford, and he's our winner this week, the Mid-South East Athletes Foots Player of the Week, and he's a former Walker medalist, and he's back in form after having a bit of a setback with an injury. Henry, good luck to you and the Mozzies, and obviously the same to the Roosters, and may the best team win, and I think we're going to see a classic Mid-Sea Grand Final. All the best. Yeah, drop into Athlete's Foot and that $50 voucher will be there for you.
Beautiful, thanks, mate.
Triple M, Mid-Southeast footy for the Matthews Hotels, the Gambier, the Southeastern and the Park Hotels. Supporting grassroots footy in the Southeast.
Yes, we're still talking Mid-Sea Grand Final. Put in a call, Bowles of the SC Times, regular commentator, eyes and ears of Mid-Sea footy. He's going to see another Grand Final. Good morning, Freddie Smith.
Yes, good morning to you, Milo.
And it's going to be wintry conditions, same for both sides. And we'll just wait in advance what the weather gods do. But Mount Burr disposed of Kalangadoo by 38 points into a grand final. And from all my information, they look like they got through without any wounds of note, the Mozzies.
Yes, I know. We saw Henry Crawford limp off late in the quarter. He had a big hanger, didn't bring the ball down, and it landed awkwardly. But as you know, the vibes are that he's quite fit, and that's he's a big part of the Mount Burr machine.
Yeah, and just talked to him then with the Athlete's Foot Player of the Week, and he's into a grand final again, and he's had a charm run as a young fellow that come back to footy. Now, the thing with the Burr, all their top liners seem to be back into form, Freddie, and that spells danger for Robe. But Robe have had that break, and obviously it's going to be important what Jack Kelly did during that period, because you've got to manage it. It's a fine line. Do you have simulated competitive work, or do you go full on with a bit of a mock trial? But anyway, they would have worked that out. But for Robe to win, you got to look at the lights. A wheel, the two pit boys, Johnny Agnew, Jack Kelly, they're probably their top liners. They're really going to have to be at their very, very best.
Yes, indeed, Milo. And I think their very, very best won't quite be good enough to get over the line. I call Mount Burr the September specialists. They've played in 7 of the last 10 grand finals. They're looking for a record 4th in a row. I reckon they'll get there. The Burr boys are a very tight bunch. They've played a lot of footy together. And you said that Mount Burr have got 5 top liners. I reckon you could double that for the Burr boys.
And Glencoe's one of those ovals that's probably what you call mid-size. You can go in quick, and perhaps you can get lost over on that scoreboard side a bit as well, but it'll be conducive. I know the hierarchy and everyone involved at Glencoe will all put on a great show with those new change rooms, the electric scoreboard. So all we need, Freddie, is a sun to peep out tomorrow.
Yes, we want to see a little bit of the sunshine, Milo. There'll be a huge crowd. I think the record for the Mid-South East is a few years ago at Hadley when it was 35,700. Without any Western Border footy tomorrow, I reckon we'd be nudging 40,000 a gate, but we really do need some sunshine.
Yeah, 2-1 head-to-head during the year, but that doesn't mean much because they start off afresh. Of course, Robe looking for their 4th flag, their last 2003, and we called that with farmer Phil Scanlon at Nangwarra when Jimmy Jess was at the helm. And, of course, the Burr boys looking for 4 in a row, which will be a league first in the A grade, and, of course, their 20th. And that 19 flags backs up what you said, Freddie. When they get to them, they don't lose too many, do they?
Yeah, look, they're wonderful, Milo. And speaking of records, Dale Bowring could get his 10th premiership medal tomorrow for Mount Burr. That's a phenomenal record. He got his first back in 1995, and lots of footballers, like if you think of Millicent, Steve Dole, playing 300 games for 1 grand final medal, and Dale Bowring backing up for number 10, maybe.
Let's hope the day just goes smooth. I know you'll enjoy the day. You'll be buzzing around, but you'll no doubt get to see a fair bit of footy as well. Good luck to everyone across the board in all those grades, and let's hope Mid-Sea footy's the winner.
Indeed, Milo, and I'm on the Burr boys.
Take us out.
See you at that footy.